today. We want to get a grasp, maybe a on this Good Friday, really grasp and get a deeper focus on what Jesus went through for you and me. And won't you just begin to praise him right now and thank him for dying on the cross for your sins? We want to honor him today, and may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to him as we end up this Holy Week on Good Friday talking about Jesus dying on the cross for us. Hey, Mike and Teresa and Tommy and Pastor Scary and Susie, blessings to you. Are we ready to jump into the Word?
We're ready. We're going to begin in Mark 15 today, verse 16 through 20. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him.
And the story continues on. We're going to stop there because this is the events after Pilate had presented him. The people cried out, crucified him, his blood be upon us. And then the soldiers led him here, and they mocked him, they scourged him, then led him away to be crucified. And we want to talk, first of all, today about the physical suffering that Jesus endured, not just at the cross, but even the events leading up to the cross.
So there were several things that happened to Jesus physically that were part of his suffering. And let's kind of look at those one by one. The first one, I know the scripture mentions he was slapped.
Yes. What you want to do is you want to get like a harmony of the Gospels or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read all of their stories. And if you kind of put that together, there's a number of things that Jesus endured concerning physical pain, physical torture. And yes, we're told he was slapped, like with the open palm. And that's, you know, a stinging pain, just a full slap.
Mm-hmm. Scripture says he was buffeted. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's more of the, like a clenched fist type of just beating him, pummeling him with their fist.
And we are familiar with the idea that he was scourged.
Yes, scourging during that era of time. And there are some historical accounts of the Roman soldiers and their process of scourging someone. There, among the soldiers, there would be one called the lictor. He was the one that was specifically trained to use the scourge. Now, I had this made a number of years ago. This guy has 9 strips of leather, and we're told that often the scourge was had the 9 9 cattails, they were called, made out of leather. This instrument would have been called the flagellum, used by the Roman soldier called the lictor. And he was very skilled in this. And now on these individual strips, this is like a sharp rock or stone. Sometimes there might be little lead round beads sewn in or sharp objects of metal. And they would be put along these strips on the end. And the Roman soldier would take this. I don't have room here to adequately do it, but he would position the person that was going to be scourged here, Jesus. Jesus would have been positioned. He knew just the distance to back off from Jesus, drag that through the dirt and debris, and then hurl it toward him. And right when it struck, he would yank it back. He would pull it back quickly, and that would cause these strips to like go around to the front of the rib cage, dig in and plow furrows across his flesh. And this would be done repeatedly. We're told historically, like 40 stripes save one, 39 stripes. Mm-hmm. And there are accounts of the fact that it was not unusual for someone who was really scourged, you know, to the full mm-hmm. extent, to die from the scourging alone, because these objects would sometimes disembowel them mm-hmm. because it would go around, grab, and then plow those furrows, or there'd be flesh. I know it's graphic, but this is what Jesus endured even before his crucifixion. And it's important to note that what they would have done with him, there's two primary ways. They would have tied him to a pole, tied his hand together, tied him to a pole, and at the top of that pole there would have been an iron ring they'd put the rope through, and then they would stretch him out like this, stand behind him, and the skin on his back would be taut. Or they would have a stone, a huge stone pillar. They would drape him over that and tie his hands on the other side. Purpose being to the back would become the canvas for the lictor to do his work, you know, and it was terrible. Scourging was absolutely a horrific thing to have to endure, but he was scourged. And that's not all.
He was mocked.
Yes, when you read this account, the soldiers are just making a joke out of this. They're mocking him. They put this purple robe on mm-hmm. him because that's the color of royalty. And he was mocked as a king. They took the crown of thorns. This is similar to like the thorns that they would have used. You can see that, how long these thorns are. Place that on him and, you know, jab those thorns down into his brow, into his scalp. That would have been just horrific.
Terrible. He was spat upon.
Yes. And today, even today, that's a sign of disgust mm-hmm. or anger. It's just spit on someone. They were spitting on him. Mm-hmm. They were mocking him, slapping him, buffeting him. They scourged him.
Struck him with reeds.
Yes, this account here in Mark talks about the reed, and that'd be what we'd call like a cane pole. Don't think of some little tender green looking mm-hmm. plant. We're talking about like a cane pole. And even today in some countries, I know until recently, there was still some countries that use this form of punishment in certain criminal cases. You'll remember a few years ago, there was an American that was actually caned. Mm-hmm. And what they'd do is take those canes and cane them on the back of the legs, similar to what some of our folks did to us growing up with a peach tree limb, except much worse.
Yes.
But Jesus took this reed like that and just hit him. And you know, you put this in the context when they got the crown on him, they may have been hitting that crown of thorns, but just brutalizing him. And there's Mel Gibson, probably of all the movies that have been made, most graphically pictured these events that Jesus went through, and it was hard for people to watch. Can you imagine what the real deal was like? Just even going through the scourging and all of this, the treatment and the physical brutality that's taken place.
They, after all these things, and I believe the scripture says they plucked out his beard as well.
Yes, there was an occasion, and you know, I remember growing up and being in a few little scuffles and seeing them at school, you know, where you grab somebody's hair and try to drag them around. And when that's happening to you, it's not fun, mm-hmm. you know. But for them to grab his beard and just pluck the mm-hmm. hair out, just out of just being cruel, mockery.
So after all these things, he was required to carry his cross, and there was a lot involved in that.
Yes, and the cross more than likely was a huge beam that would have been maybe, you know, 8, 10, 12 inches wide, pretty thick, about 5-6 feet long, and enough that a man could stretch out his hands in this way, and he would have been bearing this. Now, remember, he's been scourged. His back's been scourged. they put that robe on him, and just imagine the how the blood begins to coagulate with that robe. Then they take it off of him. Mm-hmm. Now he's got that hewn timber that he's carrying on his brutalized body, and he falls under the weight of it. And Simon of Cyrene is then commanded to help carry his cross. And now, at this point, when we're living, what an honor for this man to have carried, helped Jesus bear the cross. But just the weight of that and him falling under it on his body that's been scourged and bruised and beaten, the pain of, you know, walking out of there on the cobblestone and just falling on it with the weight of that timber pressing down on him. It's terrible.
And they crucified him with spikes. What was that like?
Well, the iron spikes would have been something similar to this, and you know, very crude back then. They didn't have machines to make spikes like we do today, but it would have been something similar to this. And scientific is not the right word to use, but these Romans knew how to do this right. By right, I mean so that
their victims suffered.
Yes, suffered. And some people, you know, they think that they would put the spikes in the center of his hands, but the hand literally is this part of the body all the way to the end of the fingers. And history again tells us that more than likely they put the spike in this part in between in amongst those bones. And they would have driven it through there. The reason being, the weight of his body suspended would have pulled the flesh out here. But here in these bones, it would have held the weight of his body securely in place. And so you can imagine them driving that into the timber, his hands, and then hoisting him up and then nailing his feet into the vertical post. And he's hanging on the weight of those spikes. His body weight's resting. His feet are resting where this would have been put through the heel of the foot, both feet. I can't really demonstrate it for you, but if my hands were feet, they would turn his feet this way and put the spike through the heels. And so for him to raise up enough to breathe while he's being crucified, he would have to pull on these spikes on his wrist and place weight on the spikes on his feet. And he would have been getting some air and then hanging until he had to have another breath. A very slow, agonizingly painful, and torturous death. It was invented by the Romans, prophesied hundreds of years out of Psalm 22 and out of the Old Testament prophecies that this would happen to Jesus even before crucifixion was invented. He would be pierced. And this is what happened to him on the cross.
So you're mentioning the breathing and push up to get a breath, and a lot of victims of crucifixion died from the suffocation.
Over a period of time, not being able to properly oxygenate the blood through the breathing, it become excess carbon dioxide, your muscles would begin to cramp. You ever got a muscle cramp at night in your, you know, or out playing sports? It shuts you down. You can't do anything on that. I mean, and basically a person that was crucified, as they labored to breathe, over time, the stress put on the respiratory system and on the heart, it would begin to shut things down, and it's like the muscles in the body would become one huge cramping mass of muscle. You know, trying to pull up and breathe. And in the case of Jesus, in order to hasten the death, they would come, and I know this is brutal, but it's in the scripture. This is what was going on. They came and they broke the legs of the thieves, so that they couldn't put weight on those legs in order to breathe, and it would cause them to die more quickly. When they came to Jesus, he had already died. And so none of his bones were broken. It was prophesied not a bone would be broken, but it was also prophesied about how his bones would be pulled out of joint. He was through this disjointed, and just the pain of that as well. And we're just talking about the physical suffering here. And when they pierced him, after his death, they pierced him with a spear to see if, you know, just to make sure he was dead. And water and blood poured out, which is indicative of his heart literally just having bursted. He died of a broken heart. And again, I've done a very poor job of describing the physical part of his suffering. And yet, that is probably not the worst of it for Jesus. The worst of it for Jesus would have been having to bear our sins, the weight of our sins on his sinless body in that moment of time. And I believe in the Garden of Gethsemane, certainly he understood what it meant to be crucified and wasn't, you know, that would, you would want to try to avoid that. But I believe the notion of him bearing sin, not only bearing sin, but becoming sin, not committing sin, but becoming sin, because he was bearing our sins and going through that separation from the Father, I believe that was probably the most agonizing part of it for him.
2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So that's a picture of what happened on the cross. Yes. He who knew no sin became sin for us.
He became adultery. He became murder. He became envy. Again, he did not commit those, but he bore the guilt as if he had. He died in our place. And we're thinking about Good Friday today, dear believer. When Christ died, you died. And Sunday morning, when we celebrate the fact that Christ arose, we've been made alive through his glorious resurrection. So the reason we call it Good Friday, because what transpired on the cross in Jesus dying and bearing our sins opened the way for us to receive eternal life, to be adopted as God's sons and daughters, to be indwelt by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, to know that our sins are forgiven, to know that we will not have to bear the wrath of God upon our sins because we have trusted the one who bore that in our place and bore it for us.
On exchange.
And listen, he wasn't forced to die on that cross. You may say, well, he didn't have a choice. Pilate said, take him out and crucify him, and he couldn't overcome those soldiers. He stayed on that cross not because he could not come down. In the garden when he was arrested, he said, Peter, put up your sword, when Peter cut the guy's ear off. He said, don't you know I could ask my Father right now? He would send 12 legions of angels. In other words, there was power to rescue him from that situation that would have come in a moment from the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. Even on the cross, in a moment, had he called out, he could have been rescued. He did not stay there because he could not come down. He stayed there because he would not come down there. He died that we might live. He endured the cross that we might receive eternal life. That's what we're thinking about, and that's the reason we're worshiping Jesus in this way on Good Friday.
The separation from the Father was, you mentioned it, but that was, I think, perhaps, you know, the bearing of the sin, the separation from the Father, the most horrific part.
Yes, and even the understanding of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yet Jesus is distinct in the sense that he was a God of very God, but living in a human body. And he became a man, and thoroughly on the cross, he's dying as a man for men. Mm-hmm. Adam was the first man. Death was passed to all men. Jesus is the second man, the Lord from heaven, who died in our place to redeem us from what the first man, Adam, brought upon us, the curse of sin. And so, but just as Adam and Eve were separated from God through their act of sin, in those moments, that intimate fellowship that God the Father and God the Son had always enjoyed, that had been there from eternity past, in this moment when Christ became sin, it's as if Father had to turn away, and that presence, that intimacy that he lived to do what the Father told him to do. He said, "I only do what the Father tells me to do. What I do is what I see Him doing, and words I speak, they come from Him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one." But in those moments, he felt the separation, feeling of abandonment, of rejection. He's being rejected by those before him, and feeling that. And that you see that happening there toward the end. Then before he declares that declarative statement, "It is finished," and then yields up his spirit. Then endures hell, if you will, and then God brings him out from among the dead ones on that awesome Sunday morning, that first resurrection Sunday. But yes, the dishonor, the ignominy, the shame, the sin that he bore. But let me tell you something. That was God loving on us. When Jesus did that, that was God. That was Jesus loving on us. You can't go before him and tell him, "Lord, you don't know how I'm hurting. You don't know how I'm suffering. You don't understand what I'm going through." Listen, he endured all of that. Anything you would ever endure, anything that's been endured, anything that's been created and caused by the curse, evil, man's wicked ways, he endured that. He went through it on the cross in a singular window of human time. The wickedness and waywardness and evil and sin of all mankind across all known time, past, present, and future, was laid upon him. So there was a magnification of the suffering, just as the redemption provided reaches back to through the Old Testament and forward through the whole New Testament era. The suffering also, there was a multiplication. He wasn't dying for his own sins and the things he had done. He was dying for all sin that would ever be committed. It was laid upon him. John tells us that in 1 John 2, verse 1, that he became the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. He became our sin bearer.
We're so grateful for that.
He went the distance.
He did.
He did. He stayed true. And we know that what he did on the cross was sufficient, because the resurrection is God's amen to what happened at the cross.
And we'll celebrate that on Sunday morning.
Yes.
If you're in the area, we'd love to have you with us at Grace House. We'll be outdoors at 8 o'clock for a brief service, indoors at 9 and 10:30, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we'd welcome you to be with us Sunday morning.
And before we go, peradventure, that you've never trusted this Jesus who loved us in this way. We can't find salvation anywhere else. The Bible says there's salvation in none other. He is the King. He is the Savior. He died for you and me, but you must confess him as Lord. You must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you'll do that, you'll be saved. I encourage you, call upon Christ today to save you. And believing ones, thank him today for what he did on that day. This is the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. And everything we enjoy this day is anchored in what happened that day. All his benefits flow to us. Thank God for what Jesus did on the cross for us. Have a good Friday. We love you all.